What's up? Welcome back to another episode of Ringside Geeks. My name is Dave. I hope wherever you are having a wonderful, wonderful moment. Day, night, morning, whatever it is. I hope it's great. Joining me to talk about all things in the wrestling world is Tom.
Hey, guys.
And Monroe.
Hello, everyone.
There is a missing person, and we'll get into that at the end of the show. We'll talk about that. We'll dig into everything we got to talk about, and then we'll discuss the goings-on at the Ringside Geeks office, I guess, as it were. But for now, we'll talk all things wrestling. We've got SummerSlam and TakeOver were this past weekend, and then Raw and SmackDown happened after that. And yeah, so that's the WWE side of things. And I have no idea what's happening on the outside because I barely know what's going on in WWE at this point this week. It's been a crazy week, so I'm sure stuff happened outside of WWE. I know I have some all-in stuff. There's a lot of all-in things being talked about because that's coming up. I know I have one thing about that, but yeah, so let's see. Let's talk news. We'll talk news first. So Eric Rowan injured his shoulder, or his bicep, excuse me. He had a bicep tear and is required surgery to fix, and likely why they dropped titles to the New Day on SmackDown this week.
Can't catch a break, man.
Them Bludgeon Brothers are going to be the story of the career is injury.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens when they come back, or if Luke does something solo without Rowan for a while, who knows? But that match was weird, but good. The SmackDown one.
Why weird?
It was a weird tempo to me. I don't know. It seemed sloppy, I think. It was interesting. I mean, I enjoyed it. It just something off about it. I wouldn't say it was bad. Just something off about it.
That was on SmackDown, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. No DQ match.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was Kofi and
Woods.
Xavier.
Yeah.
Nice. Big E came out with him, and then he walked right to the back. He's selling the ribs from SummerSlam.
There you go. Yeah, WWE confirmed the injury this week, saying he's going to have bicep surgery. He's got a torn right bicep. But he still worked SmackDown.
Who knows?
What a man.
Yeah.
That's just a bad break for those guys, man. I mean, I wasn't a fan of the Bludgeon Brothers gimmick, but I've always been a fan of those two together.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks because they keep getting one or the other keeps getting hurt at one point or something.
During pushes. Always during a push.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. Something's in the water. happy news, at least for me, I think. This weekend, there will be an NXT UK Women's Championship thingy being held. They will crown the first ever NXT UK Women's Champion. They announced that during a TakeOver or SummerSlam. There was a little video. Or no, that was NXT UK they announced. And they showed a video with Tony and Dakota Kai was in there.
Yep.
Tony Storm. And so they're going to do this tapings this weekend being held at the Gaming Festival Insomnia at NEC Birmingham. Confirmed for the tournament are Tony Storm, Ginny, Isla Dawn, not to be confused with Isla Nublar, Millie McKenzie, Nina Samuels, Dakota Kai, Rhea Ripley, and Zaya Brookside. So those are just, I'm willing to bet maybe one or two more. Oh, that might be it. I guess it's a small tournament.
Yeah.
Is Dakota Kai British?
She's Australian or New Zealand, one of the two.
Okay, I was wondering, she seemed odd for me to be going to the NXT UK when I was comfortable with her in regular NXT.
New Zealand, I think.
Yeah, I think it's New Zealand, yeah. She does these koala, no, that's Rhea Ripley, Australian.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's doing these koala things, it's kind of weird and funny. All over her Instagram. But hey, I mean, it's cool. One, I was really hoping Toni Storm would get the spotlight. She was the first NXT UK signee, female signee. And so I figured she'd get some spotlight. So I'm hoping maybe she takes home this title. But I like the list of ladies they got lined up for that.
Mm-hmm.
Should be good. I don't know when we'll get to see it. The tapings are this weekend, so I hope they announce before the tapings happen when they're going to show it, because then that'll help me decide if I'm going to read the spoilers or just wait to watch it. Because if it's going to like be on the network in a week, I'll just wait.
So I'm assuming you guys pick Tony Storm to win it?
Yeah, I'm picking Tony Storm. What do you got?
Me?
I'm going to probably go with Tony Storm on that one, too.
Monroe?
It's actually kind of difficult who to pick.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say Jenny.
Oh, yeah? I don't know much about her.
I think Tony Storm may win the Mae Young Classic.
Okay.
But she could lose against Kairi, but I don't see it, so.
That's a cool, that'd be a fun feud.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Hopefully we get to see it soon.
Yeah.
I thought I read something that Pete Dunne was supposed to defend his title during this whole set of tapings, too.
Yeah, they didn't announce against who, though, so.
Yeah.
So well, I know he defended it tonight, too, against Zach Gibson.
Oh, yeah. On the NXT that taped at TakeOver.
Yeah.
I think Dakota Kai or Rhea Ripley, one of the two, had a match, too, a dark match. So that might have been on the show. I didn't get a chance to watch it.
I know Deonna Purrazzo was on against Belair.
Ah, yes. Okay. Cool. All right. Let's close that. We're done with that story. Becky Lynch. She, I guess, made a heel turn on SummerSlam after she did not acquire the SmackDown Women's Championship. It depends, I guess, who you talk to, if it was a heel turn or not, I guess. There's some kind of confusion there between fans on the internet. It's a heel turn, guys. Whether you like her or you're a fan of her or not, it's a heel turn. And whether you think it's cool. But she did an interview with Gorilla Position. And she spoke out. Like, she's fully embracing the Sami Zayn inside. Her inner heel, I guess, so to speak. And would you like to hear some quotes from one Becky Lynch?
Yes, please.
Okay.
But of course.
When asked about her hard work and Charlotte getting handed everything, she said, and no, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do a Becky Lynch accent. I don't understand what people are saying to me when they say, well done, because I went in there with the intention of winning the title and I currently do not have a title. I have been burning a hole through the women's division on SmackDown Live for the past few months, and Charlotte shows up and she gets handed a title opportunity, and opportunistic as ever, when I had the match won, she snuck in and stole my victory from me one more time. Again, she gets handed the gold and I'm left on the sidelines. So, okay, the crowd cheered, but what does that mean when I haven't accomplished anything? I'm left there with one title. She's had 7, maybe 8 if you include NXT. I'm supposed to be satisfied with that? I'm supposed to be happy with that? That's not enough for me. And then asked about, let's see. No, not that part. This one. On her lack of push within the WWE. In 2017, I had one title match, and it was at WrestleMania, and it was a 6-way. I haven't been given a fair shot at all. I'm the best on this roster, both Raw and SmackDown, and I've proven that time and time again, yet I don't get the opportunity. Why is that? Is it because I'm not blonde enough? Is that it? Is it because I don't have enough enhancements? Is that it? I'm treated like the redheaded stepchild of the entire women's division, yet I have proved time and time again that I am the moneymaker, that I am the person that people will tune in to see, that they will care about, that they want to see me win, yet it's being stolen from me every single time. That's why we need that SmackDown show, Talking Smack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She needs to have said that there and not in some podcast or interview. That was a good promo. Especially the enhancement part.
Well, I guess we're assuming this is just her character saying this stuff.
I'm going to say yes. And she's just all about being in character in interviews, which is smart. Live the character, I guess, is the way to go.
Yeah.
My last bit of news that I've got here is about Cody. Cody talking about All In, and he was asked about their next move as far as the Bucks and Kenny and Hangman Page and all of them. I got more quotes. Great. Here we go. As far as what's next, I really wish I could answer. A lot has happened in the last few weeks, a lot of discussions about the future. One thing that's special about this, and I have to be rather cagey in answering, one thing that is special about this group is we have verbally committed to each other. And I don't know that that's ever been done in the history of professional wrestling, where I have verbally committed to the Bucks, Kenny Omega, Hangman Page. There's this verbal commitment that the next step we take, because it's no secret, our contracts are all up, what happens next? The next step we take, we're going to take it together, and we're going to take it as a family. It could be the dumbest move ever. Wrestling is sort of a shady business, or we can do what my gut tells me, the right call. And then the source would go on to say that the Cody and Bucks Ring of Honor deal expires at the end of the year, and Omega's deal expires in January of 2019, like a month later. So no word here in this particular article of when Hangman Page's contract is up. So I guess they don't really care what happens to him in this article. So I guess they're taking the approach of the elites are going to sign somewhere together, which I think won't happen that way.
Mm-hmm.
An all or none type of deal I don't think will work. Maybe, I don't know. Okay, so do we want to go over the results of SmackDown or SummerSlam and NXT, or do we want to just, you know, say our highlights, our favorite moments? Did you get a chance to go back and watch it, Monroe, or did you just kind of read about it?
Just kind of read about it.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Tom, what was your favorite moment from TakeOver?
Actually, there was a couple. The EC3 Velveteen Dream match, when he dropped the elbow on the apron, I thought it was really cool because it was something I hadn't seen from him before, where you go for your finisher on the apron. Not a lot of guys would do that. So I thought that was pretty cool for him to go outside the box, plus just the tights he was wearing. Awesome.
Dream you're talking about this time?
Yeah, Velveteen. Call me up, Vince. Love it. Loved it.
And it's funny, according to rumors, his opponent is more likely to be called up before he is.
Oh, wow. I can see them both going, but I don't know. I saw an interview with EC3 afterwards, and he said his work wasn't done, so I don't know.
The dirt sheet rumors are that Shayna and EC3 were the next ones to be called up.
I'd be okay with EC3 going.
But again, that's all.
Rumor,
yeah.
The other cool moment I thought, which I thought really segued well, was the War Raiders. I hate calling them that. Coming out and trying to really establishing themselves in the tag team division by putting it on Undisputed at the end of that match. So that's a clear segue to what the next tag team feud is going to be. And I think it's going to be great.
It should be.
Yeah, that should be good.
And everything about Ciampa and Gargano was good for me. I mean, I thought I called the ending. I was so close.
It was almost a double count out, but not quite. My nephew had a good time. Something we talked about on the car ride home was he asked me, do you think that Johnny Gargano's knee injury changed the ending to the match that they originally had in mind? Which made me smile because that made me think, well, he doesn't know. And that's what's fun.
Right.
He doesn't know what's going on. He knows it's fake. But for him, that knee injury was real. So that was... It made me happy because he enjoyed that. So,
was his knee injury kayfabe?
We don't know. I had heard something after that it might have been real. And that they did have to change a little bit on the fly. But I haven't heard anything since then.
Yeah, you said something about that Sunday night, but I have not seen anything.
Yeah, I haven't seen it anywhere else, so.
The only thing I saw that it was real. I haven't seen anything, like, you know. But
yeah, I mean, that's
what... if they want to believe, you know, want you to believe that it was real.
So, right. Yeah, I don't know. Since I saw something that said it was a legit injury, I haven't seen anything, and that was Sunday morning, I think. So I don't know. Maybe it was, yeah, just them playing into it, or maybe it's real. Don't.
It was great. If it was fake, it's great sell. Great job by Johnny.
Well, Johnny is, you know, he learned from HBK, and who sells better than HBK?
This is true.
I'm just joking. Yeah, so I don't know. My favorite, the match sucked, but I loved Kairi winning and her reactions after her win. Mm-hmm. It was cool. It was good to see her win and get her treasure, as she called it.
Did you see the picture of it in the treasure chest?
Yes.
The belt was in the treasure chest. That's awesome.
Yeah. All kinds of Instagram stuff from all of her friends and fellow Japanese stars and stuff, giving her some love. So it was cool to see. And then hopefully this means that division is going in the right direction again. But we have to wait and see. I guess it all depends on what's next.
Yeah.
Who gets the first crack at that title?
Kyra is one of those people where it really doesn't matter who.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to get a good match out of him.
Right, right. But I want that to be like equal ground. You know what I mean? Like, I want someone to help her, bring her up too.
No, I get it.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah. We're on the same page here. SummerSlam was a long night. Do you have? I'm sorry. Is there anything from NXT that you enjoyed reading about, Monroe? That you liked that you heard from, or anything you want to say about it?
Just two things.
Okay.
I mean, we've already talked about Kairi.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know she was one of my favorites, you know, for a long time now. And I'm super excited and happy that she won the title. I mean, it's still kind of weird for me personally seeing her at NXT.
Sure.
That's going to take some getting used to, especially with EO. Seeing EO anywhere other than Stardom is just going to be... You remember the first year seeing AJ Styles
sure.
on their
yeah.
TV? Yeah, it's going to be like that. It's just going to be
Sting,
weird.
Seeing Sting in the WWE.
Yeah. Like, what? Huh? This is not...
right.
No. But no, Kairi winning the title was definitely a highlight. And also, Kyle O'Reilly is a national treasure. So we have to protect him at all costs. Yeah. So. Yeah.
I agree. That's good.
He always just looks so angry in the ring. I love it. I think I even commented on that, Dave. I was like, God, he just looks angry. And you came back with, well, yeah, but so does Roddy. And I'm like, yeah, they're doing so awesome together with that.
The best is the picture I saw of, I think it was backstage, maybe before TakeOver at a live event earlier this week, where he's tuning the belt. Like, because it's a guitar pick.
Yeah.
He's tuning it. It's pretty fantastic.
He's great.
All right, moving on to SummerSlam. Tom, anything that caught your eye or got your attention that you enjoyed? Or
I mean, it definitely had its ups and downs. I thought there was equal on both. I personally enjoyed the AJ Samoa Joe match because I thought it told a story and it furthered a story. A lot of people are angry because of the DQ finish, but these two are so good together. And they know each other so well. I didn't want it to be a one-over match. I wanted this to continue. Now, would it have been better maybe a one-over to have Joe win the title? Maybe. But I think that it was really cool that it got so personal with the wiping. Because I even said it when we were watching it. You know, it's got to be funny because Wendy's sitting there. The little girl knows who Joe is because, you know, kayfabe's out the window. This is AJ's been best friends with Joe for a long time. He said that. So I think that's why they work so well together. But if he would have won the title, maybe it would have been better. But the way he came back on SmackDown, this is far from over.
Yeah, and that's okay. You know, I think I tweeted this too. The DQ thing. I think I would have been more okay with the DQ loss if they hadn't already done it earlier with the SmackDown tag team titles.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you're gonna do two finishes with the DQ for titles. It's a bit much, and I know we're filling 18 hours of wrestling in one day here, but and you're gonna have duplicates because you can only do so many things in 18 hours. But I just had wished it would have maybe just been the one DQ finish. I guess I'm splitting hairs. I don't know. The match itself was fine, and I'm not too into this Joe AJ's family thing, but at the same time, I always enjoy Joe and I always enjoy AJ, so that's still fun. It's just the story surrounding it could be so much better.
And of course, I love the Becky turn because I called it.
What were you gonna say, Monroe?
No, I was saying I agree. when you're talking about Joe and AJ.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right, Tom, go ahead. What? Becky?
Oh, and of course I love the Becky heel turn because I called it.
Yeah. Yeah, you did call a stupid idea. I mean, it is stupid. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong about picking it, but it's stupid. The person that should have done the heel turn was Charlotte.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Seeing it how it went out, yeah.
And I remember heel Becky in NXT, and I liked Becky then, but she got better when she was a face. I feel like she'll be just fine as a heel, but she's running that division, like that. She's the AJ Styles of SmackDown Women's, so why not keep her there? But I don't know. Charlotte's got to be the face, so.
Yeah, I don't, you know, sometimes the simplest thing is the best thing.
Right, right.
I mean, not all change is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, you know, I feel that way about Bayley. I don't think she should be heel. And I feel that way about Becky.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she should be heel. Becky has been, I mean, they haven't done very much with her, but she gets a reaction every time she's there. And, you know, she usually gets like the biggest reaction out of everybody else, you know, when it comes to the women on SmackDown. So it was kind of weird to me that they would choose her to go heel. So I don't know.
I mean, when I look back at Money in the Bank, every time Becky got close to getting her fingers on that briefcase, that place was ready to explode.
Right.
And it was such a letdown when anybody but her won. Like, it was just like, ugh. All right, at least the match was good. And then you're like, oh, but really?
Right.
What about, what do we think about the demon showing back up?
I have, okay, so here's my thing, okay? Mm-hmm. And this is just me being weird. But I feel like this whole demon thing is so anime. It's such an anime type thing, right? So I feel like the way you would use the demon character is smiling Finn Balor, can't get the job done, keeps losing or keeps getting beat or whatever the story is.
Mm-hmm.
It's building and building and building until finally the demon comes out and he is unstoppable. I know that's already like it can't be done now because the demon, I think Samoa Joe beat the demon in NXT or KO maybe have done it. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, you know, that's how I've always viewed how that demon character should be. And I know I shouldn't be like, well, I hate it because it's not what I want it to be.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
You know, I just wish that it was like that. Like it would be so much cooler if that's the way it was done.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's so different compared to what anybody else is doing in WWE right now that I wish they would treat it as a special attraction more, you know?
Yeah.
Not just, hey, oh, look, remember he's the demon. Hey, here you go. We forgot, but we remember tonight. So there you go.
Right.
I don't know. That just kind of bothered me. But, I mean, it's good to see that they remembered, and it's good to see that he, you know, the demon show up again. Of course, I mean, it's always cool to see the demon.
Right.
I just wish they treated it with, like, you know, more importance, like it was special, and, you know, that's all.
You're right, and I'm not saying this as an argument at all. I feel like it is special, and it is a moment where, okay, the demon came out, and he destroyed Corbin in less than 2 minutes.
Right.
And that's I guess the point I think they tried to get across with that. And you're right, he hasn't lost with a demon except for the one time to Joe in the steel cage match at TakeOver The End. Was the only NXT TakeOver match he's lost too.
Mm-hmm.
He was only doing the demon at TakeOvers, so
yeah.
That makes sense. And what, it's, I think they said almost 2 years since the demon showed up, or was it 1 year? Like almost fully 1 year?
Almost 2 years, I thought.
I think it was two years since the SummerSlam that he was the demon, but I think it's been a little under a year since he was the demon last.
Hmm.
I could be wrong. I'm trying to remember exactly what was said, but, I wish there was some kind of website where it said matches where he was the demon. I could just easily look it up. Come on, Google, do better. But yeah, it should be significant events and significant matches. And yeah, he shouldn't lose when he comes out as the demon. And I feel like the demon should, like you said, in an anime style, come out in desperation.
Right, yeah.
Like, okay, I've lost all these times. Now I'm coming out of this big match. I can't lose again. And then without his control, the demon comes out.
Right. That's the idea I like.
Yeah.
But like I said, you know, I'm not saying no shame enough for not doing what I want. I'm just giving my idea.
Yeah. So. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, as you said, it's always awesome. Yeah. To see the demon.
I thought it was awesome. I mean, when we were watching, we were like, wait a minute, is this it? And I think you were the one who was like, yeah, I think
well,
it
the
is.
Heartbeat. It's whenever you hear the heartbeat. And then there was that heartbeat and then the fog. I'm like, oh, hell yeah.
And I thought he looked fantastic. But my only problem, and I love it every time I see it, was the timing. I do like Baron Corbin, but the timing of this, that was not needed for the demon right here against Baron Corbin. This match was not needed for the pay-per-view anyway. But if I were to have booked fantasy booking, the demon would have appeared if Vince would have popped his head out of his ass and finally gave Finn a match against Brock Lesnar. It would have been the demon versus the beast, and you can book that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I think, I do believe this was more about the event than the match.
Right.
SummerSlam, right. You know, not Corbin.
Yeah, the symbolism of coming back at SummerSlam. Yeah, I get that.
And Brooklyn, and, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But what made me happiest was how quickly he crushed Baron Corbin. That was fantastic.
Crushed.
Quickest match. Well,
you said it on the show. Baron Corbin, I got to give him his credit. He sold the hell out of the fact that he was like, whoa, wait a minute.
He wanted nothing to do with it. Yeah, wanted nothing to do. It was good. You know, this is probably the first time I give him credit for anything. He sold the fear pretty well.
Yeah.
And I liked that. That's saying he's willing to do work, you know. And I kind of didn't think he would. Like a guy like that, I thought he had an attitude where I shouldn't be losing to these kind of guys and that kind of thing. But maybe I'm wrong, so that's good. Anything else from SummerSlam we want to talk about before we move on?
You're not going to talk about your new Raw Women's Champion?
I don't really want to. Do you?
Not really.
We could make the statement, Ronda Rousey is your Raw Women's Champion, and your Universal Raw WWE Women's Trophy.
Yay!
She is the face of all truthers and what WWE wrestling has to offer.
And women,
right.
All women.
WWE, yes, women's wrestling and all women. We should all aspire to be like Ronda Rousey and not believe that Sandy Hook actually happened.
Exactly.
Sorry.
What?
Sorry, I don't want to bring politics into it.
What?
She's a truther. She doesn't think that happened. She thinks it was staged.
No wonder she's a champion.
She's a conspiracy nut. She has got a title, and she really, really powder puffed it up at Raw the next day when she gave Sasha and Bayley all the credit, and Sasha and Bayley just looked at each other like, just
they looked so excited, didn't they? They were
God,
excited.
If a look could speak words, you know, like just Bayley, Bayley was just like, shut up. Nobody wants to hear this from you.
it started off fantastic when she said, I am not Brock Lesnar.
I will
show up. And I'm like, wow.
Okay. It was a good line. That was a good line. That kind of had me for a second. I'm like, oh, hang on a second. Here we go. And then she went into just kissing butt with women that are far superior to her. And it's just like, ugh. All right, I guess.
But I've said this before. I will plead with the contingent out there of women's wrestling fans. You didn't want Alexis with the title. Okay, she doesn't have it now. So Ronda does. Are you happy? No, you're not. So what is it you want? I know they're better talent right there. So now speak volumes now. Because if we see Stephanie McMahon versus Ronda Rousey at Women's Evolution.
Nope.
There will be no buy rate.
It's going to be Nikki.
No one will watch this.
It's going to be Nikki Bella.
Oh, there's less buy rate.
I don't know, man. People are calling her a legend now, so.
Yeah, the Bellas have suddenly, somehow, turned into these legendary wrestlers.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
I actually said it, Monroe, during SummerSlam, I thought that aside from the tragedy of Jim the Anvil Neidhart, this would have been a perfect opportunity for a Natalya turn, but the timing wasn't right because of that.
Yeah. Sure.
It was great to hear the Brooklyn crowd on Raw give Natty some love.
Absolutely. She looked very emotional about it, too.
Yeah. But I made a point on Twitter Sunday night that just booking wise, not forget talent, screw talent out the window. The summer or the WrestleMania match, Ronda versus Stephanie. Stephanie put up more of a fight than Alexa Bliss did.
She did.
And when you're booking champions and Alexa being your Raw and she's been a SmackDown champion, all this crap that they're trying to book for you, this character being, you know, a heel and, you know, the heel type champion. She's not like a powerhouse champion like I guess Charlotte would be. But at the same time, she should have lasted a little longer than a Stephanie McMahon should in a wrestling match. I mean, am I wrong?
No,
I don't think so.
It's just a point that just kind of cracked me over the head thinking, yeah, that match at WrestleMania was Stephanie putting herself over quite a bit on Ronda. Granted, Ronda got to put herself over on Triple H, but whatever. Yeah, so that happened. And then Braun squashed KO so hard that KO didn't show up to Raw.
Oh.
I don't think, right? KO wasn't on Raw.
No,
right?
He did not. Yeah. It is terrible.
And is Strowman without a contract now? Is that thing gone?
No, I don't. Well, from what I remember watching it,
I didn't have the sound on.
The bell did not ring. My son and I, we were both sitting there watching it. The bell never did ring. So
yeah, I didn't have the sound on, so I wasn't sure. But, all right, let's real quickly just talk about Raw because that happened. The main event for Raw was set up to be, Finn Balor taking on Roman Reigns for his new WWE Universal Championship, and credit where credit's due, that was a good match.
It was.
Aside from the millions of commercial breaks that broke up the tempo of enjoying it, it was fun to watch. It was a good match. You knew the ending, but you were
right.
You hoped deep down something cool might happen.
Well, you knew the ending, but it had me sucked in. I was like, oh, could they do this? Really? Could it really happen?
It didn't have me sucked in enough to turn the sound on and stop what I was doing.
Even my son, he had got home and he's watching it. He's like, this is pretty awesome. He said, I've heard you guys talking about Finn Balor on the shows. He's like, man, this guy is fantastic. I said, yeah, you should watch him. He's like, yeah, I can look at him, but I can't look at those abs. It hurts my eyes.
Because it makes him question his sexuality. I get it.
No, it makes you question anything about yourself. Like, oh, I'm so disgusting.
Yeah, you know, I really, I forgot where I was going to go now. Thanks a lot. And I'm just thinking about his abs.
There you go. Or you could have been thinking about Carl Anderson. Carl Anderson showed his too, of course.
Of course yes. He did. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, it would have been a lot more fun if there wasn't three commercial breaks in that match.
I think it was, yeah.
And it's funny that the timing of this match, because this past week, Finn like put over Roman a lot in interviews, saying how much it is, how fun it is to work with the guy.
He basically called him one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, he put him over pretty huge in interviews all week. So maybe that's how you get ahead in this business.
I don't know if it's, you know, oh, I'm getting paid to say this.
Right.
But most of Roman's opponents say the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I don't know if it's, you know, hey, got to get him over. Go say this to the people.
But I think AJ said the AJ's, same thing.
Yeah,
yeah, they all say the same thing. And especially coming from people like Finn and AJ, who have wrestled with some of the best in the world, that's high praise.
Yes.
And so, I mean, I don't know. It's weird to me that people still think that, oh, people hate Roman because of him.
Right.
I don't think it's him. I mean, he's...
No, it's... We've talked about it.
Yeah. He's not a bad guy. <You know? laughs> And he's not a bad wrestler either. It's
right.
Just, it's the
machine. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, we've talked about it. I think all of our positions on Roman Reigns are he's a good wrestler. He seems like a decent dude to fans and kids.
Yeah.
And that we shouldn't be angry at him, and you know, our rage with his push is not his fault. So we've said it before. What's he going to say? No. Like, no,
exactly.
Don't give me millions of dollars because I'm jacked and ripped and exactly what Vince McMahon wants to lead his company. No, I'm good. I'm going to pass. No, he's going to say,
thank you, Vince.
He's going to say yes. And we should be respectful of the fact that he's taking it seriously and working hard to get better and to be you know, the lead for this company, whether you like him or not. I mean, that's right. That's beside the point. You can hate him all you want, but
you can do way worse than him.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. What if Baron Corbin was the face of this company?
Yeah. Hey, let's just be happy that Brock Lesnar is not. I was stunned that I saw the title on TV and a title defense.
Woo-hoo! One for one. See if that happens next week, buddy. So I think I forgot already what the plan was, their build for Hell in a Cell. I can't remember who Roman's going to be facing.
Probably Braun.
Probably Braun, yeah. Yeah, you're right. But yeah, the closing of Raw after Finn lost, very nearly won at that point when you think that Finn would win, when Braun fakes the cash in or whatever, you know, distracts him. Finn comes back with a full steam ahead attitude, ready to take on the champ and, you know, one spear away and it's over. But as old Braun is about to cash in, doing it the way he said he wouldn't do it one night earlier, I'm pretty sure the Sierra Hilo whatever thing played, right?
Yes.
Okay, and then
I believe so.
Yeah, I had the sound off. I just saw the Tron change to the Shield Tron. And Dean and Seth came out with their gear on, and yeah, they took Braun to the woodshed, and the Shield reunited for a third time.
In Braun's defense, he said he wouldn't do it behind your back. You would see him coming. So he was out there. So you saw him coming. He was not going to come in blindside you.
I thought he said he wouldn't wait till after the end of a match, too. He said it would be a match. He wouldn't, like, pick apart the remains type of
thing. Maybe he talked to Edge before that, and Edge said, dude, don't be stupid.
Edge, CM Punk. Several other heels that have done the exact same thing.
Of the great cash-ins.
Right. Great. I don't know if I got any cash-in great.
Some of them are. The Ziggler one was pretty great.
The Ziggler was a huge pop. Yeah.
It was very over.
That was a Raw after Mania moment.
That's the last time I cared about Ziggler.
Fair. That's fair. Wasn't he with AJ and Big E at that time, too?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, the good old days.
I don't know if it was. I don't know if it was like everybody just didn't care about Dolph, or they hated Del Rio at that time.
It was probably a bit of everything at that point. SmackDown. Anything we need to cover from SmackDown? I don't really think too much that warrants too much covering. I think we can move on. All right, let's jump to the outside the E and let's see what Monroe. We're gonna skip Impact this week because Tom's a little behind. So he'll get caught up, and then we'll get into it next week. I promise. We've been teasing all these Impact stuff, and we'll get on top of it. I promise. We all want to talk about Scarlett Boudoir or whatever her name is.
Smoke show.
That was a joke. If we can spend a whole hour talking about Tessa Blanchard, I'd be fine.
Absolutely.
Same here.
There you go. All right, Monroe, take it away.
Well, did you guys watch 205 Live?
I didn't. I did read the matches they announced, but I haven't got a chance to get to it yet. Go for it.
Neither have I. I haven't watched it yet, but I've heard.
Okay.
Sorry.
Like, yes.
Are you going to ask us what happened? What happened, guys?
That was good.
No, I've seen a lot of praise. I mean, this isn't new. We know the talent that's on 205 Live. I mean, those guys are amazing. And I've heard high praise for the main event, and it was a tag team match. I'm trying to think of who it was. I think it was.
I'm pulling up the card right now without spoilers. So, TJP versus Noam Dar with Wale being in attendance.
Yeah, Wale was on commentary now.
Hey,
yeah.
Well, I think it was just for this episode.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Whatever. Akira Tozawa and Colin Delaney had a match. And then.
Colin Delaney again, huh?
Yeah, Lucha House Party versus Nice and Buddy Murphy.
That's it.
That was the main event. Yep.
Yeah, I've heard great things.
They had matching gear, Nice and Murphy.
Oh, nice.
Orange and black.
I miss looking at Tony.
The other guy with abs.
Not a bad tag team right there.
Not a bad tag team. I heard that Grand Metalik really, really put on the show, so that one is definitely worth the watch. I mean, 205 Live lately is definitely worth the watch, period. But I've heard great things about that main event, so I will definitely give that a watch and probably talk about it next week. But as far as things that are going on, I'm sorry?
Real quick, I know you're a fan of Woods and Up, Up, Down, Down. Yeah. I guess Nice called Buddy Murphy the Juggernaut at some point, and that's his nickname on Woods' podcast.
Really?
Buddy X-Men? Murphy is the Juggernaut. I don't know. I don't know the reasoning behind it. I just know he called him that. So now his thing is the Juggernaut. Buddy Murphy the Juggernaut, which I like that as a nickname. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I like it. I don't think I've heard that before for a wrestler.
No, me neither. And if it's an X-Men reference, it's even better.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to find something that hasn't been used already.
Right.
Well, first, I'm going to save Stardom for last. But first, let me get into what MLW is doing. John and I have talked about MLW before. Mm-hmm. They do have a TV deal. I'm not sure what channel it comes on, but they put all their shows on YouTube. And honestly, with the quality of the production and all of that, and then the quality of wrestling as well, it's definitely worth the watch. And they have a really big show coming up called MLW War Games. They're going to have a War Games match.
I've been seeing some stuff about that, yeah.
Yeah. And the people that we know or recognize in that match are people like Abyss, John Hennigan or Morrison or Impact, you pick.
Nitro.
Tommy Dreamer, Shane Strickland, Cotto Brazil, Sammy Callahan, Jimmy Havoc. So,
wow.
Sawyer Fulton. It's a lot of known people in this match. And
you better get Tom that link to the YouTube. He'll watch that.
Yeah.
War Games is his favorite.
Absolutely. Should be something. You know how War Games matches to be. Now, I've heard that they're going to have two rings, but only one cage. I'm not sure on that. That's just what I've heard. Pretty sure they're going to give more information as that date gets a little bit closer. And that will be September 6th is that show.
Wow, that's a busy week.
I'm sorry. It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
God, this year is just going on by, y'all. And they usually put their shows on YouTube fairly quickly after they come on TV, so... Yeah, we'll definitely have to look out for that.
It looks like it's on Fusion.
Is that the channel?
MLW might be on Fusion, maybe.
That's the name of the show.
Oh, it's called Fusion. Okay, yeah, MLBW Fusion tapings. Yeah.
Yeah.
It says Access. Go to access.com for ticket information. I don't know. I thought Access was a channel. Anyway, sorry.
Well, other matches on that card as well is the Mexican Massacre match between LA Park or La Parca? And Pentagon Jr., which should be insane. And then they have the heavyweight title match between Low Ki and Rey Fénix, which should also be pretty insane.
Didn't I see Conan was going to be in Pentagon's corner?
Yes, Conan is a part of that company. Like, he's there a lot.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be in Rey Fénix's corner.
Yeah.
So, yeah, MLW is worth a watch for sure. I mean, you know, if you're looking for some wrestling to watch or want something in the background, MLW on YouTube. Check them out. Not much is going on in New Japan. They did announce some cards for some upcoming shows that I don't have in front of me right now.
I'll look it
but
up.
Nothing to write home about. I know they had one show that's coming up, the American date, and Cody will take on Juice Robinson for the U.S. title, and I think that's the main event of that show. I'm not sure. And I think there was a tag match and another singles match that was announced. But like I said, for me personally, it's not much to write home about. It's a lot of Bullet Club stuff. And I think it was Young Bucks versus Tama Tonga and Tongaloa.
We got September 15th, they're building to destruction in Hiroshima, right?
Yeah.
And that card right now, do you want me to go over it?
Is that the U.S. show? That's not the U.S. show.
No, the main event looks like it's Kenny versus Ishii.
Yeah, that's not the one they announced as well. That's for the title. But I was talking about the U.S. date they have Long Beach. I think it's Long Beach that they're going to.
Yeah, let me look that one up. Japan, Long Beach.
But they did announce the Destruction cards as well. And
I can read that if you want. I have that pulled up, too.
Kenny Omega and Ishii. I mean, that's really the main match.
Yeah.
One of those things. You know, they're not really that important, those Destruction shows. So I think the King of Pro Wrestling is the next big show for them. So. Yeah, I don't see Ishii winning this, obviously, and I don't think he has a chance. I mean, I would like that. That is my uncle, you know, with the title in the family, but still should be a very, very good match.
There's only two singles matches on this whole card.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That's.
Yeah, they're not. They're not one of those important.
Fighting Spirit Unleashed is the next one. Looks like the Long Beach 2018.
Yeah, so it's that Juice Robinson and Cody Rhodes match, and then the Young Bucks, Tama Tonga and Tangaloa. And then what's the other one? I think the villain is in a match, too.
Will Ospreay and Marty Scurll.
Will Ospreay.
Yep.
That's right, because they...
They're doing a tournament.
They're doing a tournament for the junior heavyweight title because Hiromu had to relinquish the title because we know he hurt his neck. So they're having that tournament. It's those two guys, and it's also Kushida and... One more person. Who am I missing?
Bushi
is the other person that's in that tournament. Only four people. I wish I would have got more people. It's kind of weird.
Two dates. Yeah, the Destruction in Kobe in September 23rd, and then the Fighting Spirit Unleashed in Long Beach on September 30th.
Yeah, I mean, they really could have pulled people from, you know, they have a working relationship with CMLL and wherever else. They could have pulled people from, or they could have got some of the Young Lions, whomever, you know, to make this an actual tournament.
Sure.
Four people is like, okay.
Seems like a WWE thing.
Yeah. Hey. Right about that. So, yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that, but, you know, I'm just waiting on Hiromu to come back. CMLL had a press conference today where they announced some matches and they announced their main event for their upcoming 85th anniversary show. And that match is Rush and Cavernario versus Volador Jr. and Ring of Honor's Matt Taven. That's going to be the main event for that show, which is a little disappointing for a lot of fans because they were building towards LA Park and Rush to wrestle each other, but it's not going to happen. And yeah, it kind of sucks that it's not. So, and then having this tag match to take place of that, and they've been building that match, is kind of, that's so lame. I mean, don't get me wrong, the match still should be really good, but that's not what we wanted as fans, you know? So that's a little disappointing to hear. Also, though, big news coming from that press conference is that Naito and Evil and Bushi will be returning to CMLL. I don't think Naito has been there since 2012, so it's kind of a big deal that he's going back. And he's actually going to be in a match against Volador Jr., Diamante and LA Park. So seeing Naito and La Parca in a match is kind of crazy.
Can I ask a question? An ignorant, not a big CMLL fan. What kind of match or what? How big of a deal would it be if Naito and Almas had a match together?
That would be.
Was that your answer?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry. Woo. Okay.
Oh, take a moment. Take a moment.
Yeah, that would be kind of big. That's stablemates wrestling each other, and yeah, that's a big deal. I would love to see that match. I kind of want that right now.
Sorry.
that would be amazing, man. You threw me all off. So yeah, that's CMLL, and I'm gonna save the best for last. The Stardom is having their G1, which is called a 5-Star Grand Prix. And I've watched the majority of the first round. I still have two more matches of the first round left. And then they're already into the second round of matches. And it is round robin, just like the G1. A lot of people that some of us recognize, like Kimberly, that was in NXT before, she's in this tournament, as well as Nicole Savoy, who was in the Mae Young Classic. She's also in this tournament. Kelly Klein from Ring of Honor is in this tournament as well. And they have and Rachel Ellering. You guys know Rachel Ellering, too. She's in the Mae Young Classic as well, Paul Ellering's daughter. She's also in this tournament. So they got a lot of good names for this tournament. And then also, you know, the stars of Stardom, Kagetsu and Momo Watanabe. You guys have heard us say these names before. Mayu Iwatani, people like that, as well as Utami, who had her first match last week, and she's in this tournament. And honestly, if you see her wrestle, you would not think she had her first match last week. I mean, clearly she's, you know, new. Like, you can tell she's new. But the potential hits you in the face. She is going to be amazing one day. And I cannot wait to watch her rise to the top. She is awesome already. And this is just like her second match that I've seen. She wrestled Tom Nakano, who was a fan favorite. And that match is actually really, really good. surprisingly, it kind of blew me away. I think it was one of my favorite matches of this first round of the tournament. So Utami is definitely one to watch. And also, you know, of course, people like Kimberly and Nicole Savoy are going to have great showings. I mean, they're great wrestlers. Nicole actually took on the secondary title holder, Momo Watanabe, and that match was awesome. Momo has been having a great year, and Nicole has gotten much better since the last time I saw her. And she calls herself the queen of suplexes, and she is not kidding about that. She does a lot of suplexes. But she is so entertaining to watch, and that match was very good. Definitely one to watch from that round, as well as Hazuki or HZK. You guys have heard us talk about her as well. She's like 20 years old. She's so good against another young wrestler named Saki Kashima, who I haven't seen wrestle a whole lot, but man, she has really impressed me. And they had a match together that was actually really, really, really good. So a lot of great matches this first round. I still haven't seen the Kelly Klein and Mayu Iwatani match, and I have not seen Kagetsu versus Konami, who was trained by Asuka, and she's really young and she's really, really good. So I have not seen those two matches yet, but I'm pretty sure they're going to blow me away, so I'm looking forward to that. So, the five-star Grand Prix tournament in Stardom right now is starting off very strong, and it's going to go on for the next few weeks, and I'm looking forward to reporting on that, you know, as they go on. So, Stardom doing big things right now.
Sweet.
So, yeah, I think that's everything I have.
Is the 20-year-old, is that the youngest one, or is there the one in high school or something you guys were talking about?
I think HZK, she's the 20-year-old. I think she's actually older than the person that's holding their secondary title, Momo. I think Momo graduated. Yeah, she graduated high school this year. So she's no older than 18.
It's crazy.
But she's so good. It is crazy, you know? And they also had a five-way battle royal. Like, you know how they have the tag matches before the main matches? They had one with their younger stars that are like 15 and 16. But they're so fun to watch, and they worked so hard. And they're actually really good. So I really like how Stardom invests in their talent and make new stars and give them opportunities and chances to grow and get better. I love that. They've done that for years now, and that's one of my favorite things about that company. And yeah, there's a lot of talent there. A lot of talent.
Do they call their young talent Young Lions too, or what do they call them?
No, they just call them the future of Stardom.
Oh, okay.
Really? Yeah, they don't really have a Young Lion type name.
Sure. I wasn't sure if it was a cultural thing or just a new Japan
right,
thing.
Right. No. They don't call them that.
Gotcha. Cool. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, you don't see that kind of stuff in other companies, even in New Japan or anything like that. So that's pretty
right.
Pretty crazy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That, you know, you see young people being extraordinary, but you don't see it on that kind of stage. So that's awesome. Yeah. All right. Anything else that we want to talk about? I can pull something out of my butt here for the last 8 minutes, if nothing else.
Gotta want to see what you can pull. What?
All right. I got topics laying in wait. So just a little roundtable discussion to close it out.
Okay.
Go for it.
All right. That's what we want to do. Okay. Let's see here. Sorry, it's going to be kind of WWE based, but it's more singular wrestler based. What is your, because he's in the news a lot and they keep asking if he's going to have one more match, and he pretty much told them it wouldn't be good, so stop asking. What is your favorite, it doesn't have to be match, but HBK moment, Shawn Michaels moment?
Oh, come on. That's not fair.
I'll tell you mine, and then that'll let you think a little bit. So I remember Shawn Michaels, early 90s, his stuff before the DX stuff, the stuff that really made him famous. But I mean, he was a top guy for a while. I remember Vince McMahon saying classically that this guy will never be my WWE champion or WWF champion ever, and just eating those words.
Still is.
And then, you know, having him be the one he trusts to take out Bret Hart for him, and save that title, and the screw job, that kind of thing. But the positive thing I remember Shawn Michaels for, it's going to be, I guess, an easy answer, but it's something that stuck with me throughout my entire life as a wrestling fan. One of my first moments of saying this stuff is so good. This thing called wrestling, this form of entertainment is so good. That's the HBK Razor Ramon IC ladder match. The whole build up to it, not knowing until I was much older that the reason there were two titles is because Sean apparently they said he failed the steroid test and they suspended him, and so he wouldn't give the title back because he's denied he ever failed, like he denied ever using steroids, so he wouldn't give them the title back. So when he was suspended, they had to give it to somebody else. They had a little tournament and Razor won it, and then coming back from that, they said, well, they used to do this thing, or they did this thing in NWA where somebody made themselves a belt and they said, I'm the real champion, and they had this match and they brought it back and they said, let's do that with Sean and Razor or Scott Hall. And knowing that story behind it is cool later in life, but just the story of the match and these guys being who they are and just going out there and just at that time having probably the best ladder match of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be rivaled until, like, I don't know, almost 8 years later, 7 years later, when the Hardys and Edge and Christian would do it, but in a different fashion.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a cool moment. It was just really just, you know, realizing this is a sport and it's fake to an extent, as in they know who's going to win, but the damage these guys are putting their bodies through just to tell this story and to put on a good show. I was like, yeah, I'm hooked. So that was my favorite HBK moment. Anybody else ready to go?
Monroe?
Oh, well. you guys know me well enough, and you've seen my Twitter account. I am pretty passionate about wrestling, and I can get really, really emotional about it. Like, I take it way too seriously. So Shawn Michaels was the person. He's the reason why I started watching wrestling in the first place. Well, you know, I mean, it was around me the whole time, but he was the person that I was immediately hooked on when I saw. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was cute. That's probably why, but...
How old were you, do you think?
Oh, gosh, I have no idea. No idea.
Was it when he was actually, like, live entertaining, or like, you had to go back and see it?
No, it was live. Like, I remember waking up one Saturday morning, my uncle called me and told me to, you know, turn on to this channel and... Here's Shawn Michaels dancing around the ring and taking his pants halfway off. And I'm like, who is this? 6-year-old me? I really don't know how old. I was really young, though.
Okay.
But it was always, whenever he was on the screen, I was one of those women. You ever seen the Michael Jackson concerts where the girls are just like falling out when they see Michael Jackson because they love him so much? That was me for Shawn Michaels. I would cry whenever he would pop up, you know, the commissioner for the night or the sheriff or whatever, I would cry every time I saw him. That's how much I loved Shawn Michaels. No kidding. WrestleMania 12, y'all, that I can't even, it's hard for me to put into words how much that meant to me when he won that title. It was unbelievable. And then seeing his reaction, I don't know who was crying harder, him or me. It was that was a bad night for me. But honestly, I think the moment that I would have to choose that probably meant so much to me was actually in 2003, later on in his career, when he came back and he won the title at the first ever Elimination Chamber match. I was sent to the hospital that night because I was so excited and I was crying so hard.
Oh,
I started
wow.
to hyperventilate and I couldn't really breathe. I couldn't catch my breath. And so I had to be taken and put oxygen. I swear to God, this is a true story.
Well, here That's you go. Here you go. This is the proof. Just cut this for any of you idiots on Twitter who don't think she's a real wrestling fan. She nearly died over excitement of a wrestling match. So you that can shove so it. She's a true fan.
I would never forget that. Probably because I couldn't really breathe that night. But I was so, because he was gone and he came back and he just won the title. And y'all, I did not expect him to win at all. I mean, I was one of those people. Kayfabe was a thing, you know, for me then. And I mean, I was so excited. So that moment right there sticks out to me more than any other moments, really, because of just how happy I was and how happy wrestling made me feel in that time. It was unmatched. It still is unmatched. I was so excited for Shawn Michaels then. So, yeah, that's definitely my moment.
Awesome. What a good story. That's awesome.
Never shared that before, so there you go.
That's awesome. All right. I love it. All right.
It is.
Top that, Tom. Awesome.
Okay, I'm going to go to the Wayback Machine, and you knew I was going
so
to.
So I remember watching.
I was a fan of Shawn Michaels when he first was introduced to Marty Jannetty in AWA.
I knew it. I knew you were going to go to AWA.
Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty.
I don't even know why.
And I'm as a huge fan of tag team wrestling. I'd already liked Rock and Roll Express, so here comes these new guys. And I'm thinking, wow, I like what they do because they kind of did a lot of more aerial stuff. I got to watching them. And then I see that they move over to the WWF. I'm a big fan, watching them do everything. And, you know, at the meantime, Macho Man Randy Savage is my favorite guy. He's the first guy that I connected to as a heel. So I'm thinking, okay, I like the bad guys. And then the barbershop happened.
Oh, yeah.
The barbershop will be forever etched in my mind as my favorite Shawn Michaels moment because that was when he became his own man. Sorry, Marty. Marty never recovered.
No. And it was a joke, kind of a joke in the WWF.
Yeah,
it was
kind of a definite afterthought. But Shawn went on to be arguably one of the best ever. Part of my Mount Rushmore is my four favorites. And it all started for me. I liked him as a tag team guy. But it started as a singles guy right there at the barbershop when he established himself. And it just went from there.
There you go.
Awesome.
Hit us up on Twitter at Ringside Geeks. Let us know what is your favorite or your classic Shawn Michaels moment. What sticks out? Let us know. That was fun. That was cool. Impromptu thing. Also impromptu technical difficulties, but we'll forget about all that. All right. So that is our show this week. We'll be back next week. The thing we wanted to talk about, John is going to take some time away from the show, recharge his batteries. Do that thing called life. So he'll be back, we hope, eventually. We think he will be, but we're pretty sure. He just needs some time away, step away from the wrestling lifestyle and focus on him and his relationships and his work and stuff like that. And so we'll let him do that, of course. There's no contract here. But he cannot host podcasts with anybody else. No. It wasn't anything like that. I did say you're fired.
Not at least for 90 days.
Right. Yeah. There is that holding time. No. I do own his name, but I will put it that way. And he can't use his entrance theme. Has to change his whole look.
He will be on another podcast as Jose. Watch.
As Juan Sleeve.
Oh my gosh.
It'll be Juan Neve with two E's.
There you go.
No, but we wish him the best in all his future endeavors. I had to do it. No, I'm just kidding. He'll be back. He just needs some time away. So we hope him the best in figuring stuff out, and he'll be back, of course. In the meantime, we have no doubts that Monroe can hold it down. In fact, we have her big Mae Young preview show coming up very, very soon. We will have that released the week of the first set of matches being released on the network, right? That's what we decided?
Yep, that's what we decided.
Okay. It's news to her, I think. we kind of talked about it. I don't think we ever set a date, but I think that makes sense to do it that week. Yep. So sure. We'll get that recorded, and she'll break it all down, and she'll have some matches for you to go scope out in the show notes that week. So for any of the new ladies that you might not be aware of, we'll get you set for that tournament, which I hope is going to be a lot of fun. I think it will be. I hope it will be. So
it will be.
The show, at least our show, will be entertaining. We can promise that.
Yeah.
If you liked what you heard tonight, please rate, review us on iTunes. If you don't want to do that, that's fine. Just tell a friend. Tell a friend. You know, one of those people you watch the wrestling with. Let them know about this little podcast we do. And spread the word of Ringside Geeks. We'd appreciate it greatly. I will be at Wizard World Chicago this weekend. I'm going to try to score some interviews with some of the wrestlers there. Christian, Tommy Dreamer, Velvet Sky, just to name a few. I'm going to try to wrangle, get some thoughts. I probably won't try to talk to Enzo Amore, but if they throw him my way, maybe I will ask him about how that rapping career is going.
Get him to freestyle.
Yeah. I'll have to censor everything. Nope, we don't want
haters.
Yes. So I'm gonna try to score some interviews for us. If not for the show, maybe I'll write it up and I'll share that if I can't get audio stuff or video We'll figure something out. But hopefully I can get some stuff. I hope. If nothing else, check out Instagram because I'm going to sit on Christian's panel. I think he's got a panel with... shoot, I forget who he's got a panel with. To probably Tommy. Tommy Dreamer, yeah. Mm. That's what it is. I'm going to try to sit in on that panel. Maybe Velvet Sky, but she's got Enzo in that panel too for some odd reason. So.
Weird.
Ugh. Ugh. Anyway, I feel sorry for her. But yeah, we're going to try to do that. So stay tuned to our Instagram and Facebook and all that good stuff at Rugside Geeks for all of that. But if you want to hit these people up individually, Tom, you're on Twitter.
I am on Twitter at @skiz_world.
And Monroe.
I am on Twitter at @E_ENT. And also a YouTube page, Eye of the Storm Entertainment.
Where you can find John if you miss him. He'll be there.
No longer Rinky Dink?
No longer Rinky Dink.
It hasn't been for a while, dude. It hasn't been Rinky Dink for a while, man. Where you been?
Rinky Dink's always one of my favorite things she says.
Oh, and do us a favor. If you want to come to a Wizard World near you, it's in Chicago this weekend, and I think you can still get tickets. It's coming to Monroe's neck of the woods soon. So the code ATOMIC20. Use that, ATOMIC, the number 20, at checkout when you're buying general admission tickets to a Wizard World convention show. It'll save you 20% off on your tickets. I think right now it's only working for Chicago, but as soon as Chicago ends, you can buy your tickets to the upcoming shows. And if you cannot, let me know on @RingsideGeeks on Twitter, and I will get that code working for you. Immediately. I have people to email. I'll email those people and they'll get it working for you, I promise. So yeah, Atomic 20 at checkout for your general admission tickets. Wizard World's a lot of fun, so they always have wrestlers on the roster, so you can't go wrong. I met Becky Lynch at one of their smallest conventions of the year, and it was fantastic. So
and Monroe will give you an autograph pick if you say hashtag Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Apparently she will.
It doesn't have to be a pic of her or her autograph. She'll just do it.
Yeah, it could be an autograph of Animal. Not Animal the wrestler, Animal from The Muppets.
The Muppets? Hell yeah.
Congratulations to Alabama for being number one, and then congratulations to Wisconsin for being number four. Suck it, Big Ten!
Thank you, and congratulations to Ohio State University for messing it up!
On Wisconsin, Roll Tide. We'll see you guys next week. Have a good weekend. Say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.